It was a late night in the emergency room, and I was the chaplain on duty when a young father who had been doing tree work was brought in. He had taken a very bad fall, broken many bones, and sustained pretty serious head injuries. And I was called to be with his wife as she processed this abrupt change to their lives. I sat with her for a while. She was in shock when his buddies started showing up. They surrounded his wife with words of support and encouragement. They said, "This guy's not going to die. He's going to recover. He's a Christian. He is born again. Jesus will never let him die, because his faith is a rock." And they said to her, "You should have that same faith. It's going to be okay. He's born again," they insisted. And I watched her face turn from the ashen gray of grief to the pink of life just a little as she began to hold on to a wee bit of hope. Eventually, they noticed that I was in the room. And I explained to them that I was the chaplain, a person of faith. "You're Christian," they exclaimed, clearly seeing me as an ally in their mission to convince this young wife that her husband, their friend, would survive, that he would thrive. "Pastor, when were you born again?" they said. They were looking for the story, for a dramatic moment of conversion that would add to their own stories of discovering Jesus' love in their lives. Now, I've been an Episcopalian all my life. And while I was raised in the South, and this particular conversation took place in southern Tennessee, the buckle on the Bible Belt, I had never been asked this question. Never. And I was not prepared for it. I fumbled around, and I finally said to them, "Well, I was born again on the day that Jesus rose from the dead." This puzzled my interrogators. And they rightly moved their attention away from me and back to this young, grief-stricken wife of their good friend. In all of that drama and chaos, I could never find the words that would assure her like they were assuring her, that just because of his faith, because he had been born again, that Jesus would intervene and would spare him from death. That just didn't fit with my theological reflection, despite my belief in miracles. This conversation had its very early roots in the soil and the seed of John 3, 1 through 17. Nicodemus comes to find Jesus in the darkness of night to interrogate him about the signs that he does and about God's involvement in Jesus' work. Perhaps he comes at night out of a fear of being seen, but I think at the same time, the action of coming out at night to meet this suspect character like Jesus shows Nicodemus' intense need to figure Jesus out, his almost desperate act to understand his own struggle with belief and faith. And Nicodemus' curiosity leads to this idea that we have to be born from above, born from water and the Spirit. And what Nicodemus hears, we have to be born again. This time with Jesus, which was special, and Nicodemus leads into a lovely monologue that must have left Nicodemus feeling quite emboldened to stay in touch with Jesus. In fact, although we have no idea what happened to Nicodemus right after that conversation that he had in the dead of night with the light of the world, John's gospel tells us of his appearance in the story two more times. Nicodemus steps in when Jesus is having a quite intense argument once with religious authorities. And then it is Nicodemus who joins Joseph of Arimathea to bury Jesus' body with the burial spices of tradition. Nowhere along the way does Jesus say that Nicodemus has come to fully understand and believe in Jesus as the light of the world, as the Messiah. But I wonder if his other two appearances show a gradual understanding of who Jesus is, even though we never hear about him again. He is not among the first apostles. He does not seem to be one of the disciples that helped start this new faith community that follows Christ. The first and subsequent encounters that Nicodemus has with Jesus suggest that faith in Jesus is ambiguous. It's fuzzy. Faith is not black or white, but that it is fluid. It moves. We talk about having faith, or our faith, like faith is a once and final thing, like believing in Jesus is as simple as just, if I get enough faith and I'll acquire it and I'll hold on to that, then it'll work. Scholars point out that in the Gospel of John, the word faith is not a noun. It's an active verb. Faith is not something that one has. It is something that one does. As a verb, faith is as ambiguous, as uncertain, and as indecisive as anything that we do or anything that we are as human beings. That question that Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can these things be? Or at the earlier service, that was translated as, I still don't get this, Jesus. That question, how can these things be? I still don't get this, is as serious and real a question as anything else we ask of God. Believing is complicated. Faith and belief are is incarnate in us, as is God in Christ incarnate. Fully human and fully a gift from God is one of our new categories of relationship that we use in the 21st century says, it's complicated. Years ago, I found this incredible quote about faith, and I apologize to whoever wrote it, because that has been lost to the sands of my time. But this is what it says. Faith does not float on clouds. It walks in the streets of human reality. It stands in the midst of disaster and tragedy. It sustains all creation. Faith enters into the painful spaces where love struggles to exist. Faith is a tool. It is meant to be used where it is needed most. Faith works on the most difficult of jobs, the ones that are often complex and even dangerous. Faith is the sweat equity of believing. The joy we receive is not the promise of what is to come, it is the experience of what is now. We practice what we believe. We share what we have. The friends of that young man suffering so in that hospital emergency room might not have called themselves Nicodemus, but they were practicing his searching faith, using their faith on the most difficult of jobs in a time of tragedy, lifting up their friend in prayer, lifting up his wife in hope, and lifting themselves through the sweat equity of believing. I will probably, never say that to God. I may never say that I was born again in one moment, but I have never forgotten those men's loud, incarnate, desperate faith. And to add to the it's complicated nature of God and human and faith and belief, he survived and he thrived. miracles do seem to happen. All of us, in our raggedy, imperfect, difficult faith journeys, all of us in our disagreements, in our discomfort with how others articulate their faith, all of us who have lost our faith, or those who have never found it, we are all wrapped up in this truth. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to us, so that in our rocky faith, in our imperfect belief, everyone may have eternal life. Everyone is beloved beyond all understanding. Even when we don't know what we believe about God, God always knows what God believes about us. And that is eternal, unending love in this life and in the life to come. I call you now to a time of silence.